The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text in at 334-784-1685. The boys are bringing you all the action on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. When it comes to the Tigers, the SEC, and the hottest topics in sports, this is where you want to be.
Weeks aside, practice aside, it's finally game week here on the Plains.
Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, straight from the ESPN 106.7 studio, here's Christian Griffin and Tripp Upton.
Yes, welcome in. Welcome in. It is the Monday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and that Radio Alabama app. I'm Christian Griffin here with you in the studio. And if I had more energy to give, I would have screamed that intro because I'm absolutely fired up. You may not be able to officially hear, a little under the weather here this afternoon, but you know what? College football is going to get me through here this afternoon. And I guess if you could pick a Monday to feel a little under the weather, to not feel 100%, I would pick this Monday over next Monday. Hopefully, by a long shot. But college football is going to power me through here this afternoon because it's a great Monday. It's a great day to have a great day here on this Monday, August 31st, the final day of August. And as soon as that calendar flips September, it really feels like the college football season is officially here. We get to dive into game week for the Auburn Tigers. We're diving into Auburn and Baylor to get the show started here this afternoon. Some of the storylines, the keynotes, really cool, and maybe some not-so-cool game notes that we were able to look at this morning and earlier this afternoon. We also have a week one game preview, kind of looking at some of the top five games this weekend, starting on Thursday all the way into Sunday as week one is officially here. We get Alex Golish's opening statement here on the phone lines, or I guess rather on the audio side of things here this afternoon, and maybe a little talk on what Auburn wants to continue to improve of here in the 2026 season. And then we get to recap week zero, and we talked about it on Friday of how great is a problem is it, how fantastic is it that now on the show we get to actually recap college football games. Let that sink in. We get to dive into the box score, but not a box score viewer, because I know, like myself and like Tripp, you guys are not box score watchers. You watched a lot of college football this weekend, and we're going to be able to dive into all of our thoughts. I'll make my official apology, but it also wasn't my fault. But I'll get to that here a little bit later on. But I appreciate everybody for being here with us. I'm Christian Griffin, my man. Tripp Upton sitting across from me as well, my man. Happy Monday. Happy game week for all of college football.
Yes, happy game week. Happy Monday. Glad to be here back in Auburn after a road trip to Fort Walton Beach, Florida, coming home with a win for the Auburn High Tigers. And yeah, glad that you got to watch a ton of football this weekend. I was moving, so I couldn't. And then, of course, at the restaurant.
Shouldn't be an excuse.
I know. I'm sorry. I don't have internet either. That also probably matters. But we watched a little. We listened to the TCU-UNC game on the way back, myself and Jack Hudden, along with Caroline Witten, our camera operator, that was subjected to our shenanigans in the car. But listening to the UNC-TCU game when it – just that first – just the sound of the kickoff. Everyone's going, oh. And, you know, every school has their, like, chant. Like, whoa, Eagle, hey, or go, dog, sick 'em, ooh, 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 ooh. That kind of stuff. Every school has that. But hearing that for the first time.
I can't believe you just said that on this
Monday. I know. I'm sorry.
I know you picked them to win the national championship on Friday, but, okay, like, I don't need you to continue that energy here.
I'm sorry.
Like, that's a
you
problem.
You won't. It was the first one that came to mind. I mean, because Georgia Tech doesn't really – I don't think I can say Georgia Tech's on the air. But
didn't they change their overall slogan? Because they can say, you know, we're a rambling wreck from Georgia Tech in a Heck of an Engineer. Isn't that what they changed it to?
No, it's still Helluva.
Okay.
I have not seen it say the Heck of a. I've never heard that. So it's still Helluva.
For some reason, I thought I saw something.
No, don't worry. They changed it. But I think oh, you did. That was an April Fool's Day joke.
Ah, okay.
Yes. So
I got sent to
yeah. It's like, go Jackets, sting them. And then, the cymbals crash, and then they take the fair catcher, rolls out of the end zone usually, but I know. That's what I'm saying. I didn't want to use that example because I don't like that example. But I think the Georgia one, as much as I hate hearing them bark when the kickoff, it's recognizable. You can't admit that. But hearing that for the first time truly made me feel that college football is back here on this weekend. It's gonna be even more back this next coming weekend. The SEC kicking off play, and speaking of the SEC kicking things, might be kicking LSU out of the SEC. We'll talk about that along with some other things a little bit further on in this program. But glad to be back, partner. Glad to be back in Auburn and hoping for a big weekend for all three of the teams that we cover.
Yeah, Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network is going to be joining us at 3:30, as he does every single Monday, but the phone lines are open. You know the drill. Not officially a Monday on the victory side of things quite yet, but you know those phone lines here on this Monday afternoon. Open up until that 3:30 hour, so if you have any thoughts on your mind that you want to be able to dive into here this afternoon, feel free to give us a call at 334-321-1390. The Send Medicine text box, always open as well, at 334-784-1685. Any quick hitters, any thoughts from week zero? Had a couple people text in on Saturday, diving into a lot of the week zero games. I got a couple apologies, and I did get a couple, it's okay, it's not your fault, in terms of, thanks Hawaii.
Yeah, freaking seriously.
Rainbow.
Messed God. Up my pick'em because
After
of
it
you.
Was so bad, it was so good, and then it was so bad again. And,
I know. That was great. It was like a fumble recovery to basically cover if you yes. were into that Stanford. God, Christian, messed up my pick'em because of you. I rode with you. Me, just like the On the Linebackers, believed in you. Not necessarily Hawaii. Not necessarily didn't believe in Stanford. We believed in you, and you let us down. Not Michael Alejandro. I'm kidding. I know.
It's because I said it out loud. The only thing that can't happen here is a pick six or a scoop and score. And wouldn't you know it, two plays later.
You can't put that in the universe.
Yeah.
It's like saying, this is a big third down stop here, and then it's, wait, what do you mean we left a tight end open over the middle? Brock Bowers going to the 15, to the 10, to the 5? Touchdown. What? Like I'm getting flashbacks to 2023, but...
What, man, what are you doing?
I don't know.
Gosh.
I don't know. I'm worried. I'm sorry.
I thought you were, if anything, a Tech fan that should hate Georgia just as much, but you've already brought three of those on here. It's 2:08 for week one of college football season. Diving into Auburn-Baylor.
I know. I know. It's
I don't know what the lock-in of Auburn football games has done to you. But for some reason, that's brought out the Georgia in you, which
means
is
we need
even
to...
more counterproductive than we could have possibly imagined.
Hey, I don't know. Maybe it's because, having to drive back from Fort Walton Beach put me in the mind of a Georgia athlete speeding along the highway trying to get back. But maybe something like that. But no, I apologize to the listeners for the continued Georgia references. I'll try and limit it for the rest of the show. I don't really know what's going on here.
If anything, if you're talking about a tight end and we're talking about week one of college football, it needs to be Sal Cannella on the near side of the end zone. A little stutter and go. Jarrett Stidham throws it up. Cannella still don't know how he didn't break his neck when he fell onto it. In the end zone as Auburn defeated Washington in Atlanta to get the season started. Because that's the last time this Auburn Tiger team started a season in Atlanta. Before then, it was Auburn and Louisville, where second half Lamar Jackson made it a lot more, a lot closer than it probably needed to be. But that was the very first game. I remember I was at that one. The first time that Auburn introduced like the orange accessories, and it was all of the orange arm sleeves, the orange arm bands and leg bands and leg sleeves, and the orange cleats is a big accessory. And What a great first half that was. What a survivable second half that was. But we get to see Auburn back inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium coming up, oh man, this Saturday again. When you finally turn that page, it feels as if college football season is officially here. Again, you got the little appetizer, you got the chips and cheese dip, you got a couple of the cheese sticks, the fried pickles, whatever the case may be this past weekend. But man, you're still saving a little bit of room for that main entree coming up here this weekend. And again, it gets started at 11 o'clock, but Auburn and Baylor at 2:30 inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium. How fun is this going to be? Fortunate enough, we're able to go and be a part of the media. We're going to cover this game and be able to get some really cool access to be able to talk about a big-time Auburn victory. But, man, it feels like we're finally here. We got to go to the Alex Golish press conference this morning, as well as Joel Gordon and DJ Durkin were able to speak at that as well. We're going to play Coach Alex Golish's opening statement here coming up in just a little bit. But your overall thoughts in Auburn ways of Auburn game day finally being here.
It's beautiful. It's so nice, and it's the opportunity to be able to go back, and I wish it was a home game. You know, I wish that we were kicking off things. You go to you got Tiger Walk, you got, you know, just the hustle and bustle of downtown on a Friday night getting into Saturday morning. The Eagle Flight, them taking the field to the band, Welcome to the Jungle, Swag Surf, all of those things. But still, the fact that the Auburn University Tigers are kicking off the football season this Saturday, just knowing that the game that we've been talking and basically alluding to for 9 months is finally here, it's so nice. We don't have to talk about anything else. We don't have to talk about, well, what is this position group going to do? We can just talk about how they did. And that's so exciting.
Yeah, we talk about the execution or the lack thereof at certain parts of the game. We get to dive into everything. And again, the phone lines are open. If you have anything on your mind on this Monday afternoon, give us a call at 334-321-1390. Again, the Send Medicine text box, which you can always be a part of at 334-784-1685. And that text box is brought to you by Send Medicine, because at Send Medicine, you get VIP medical care with direct access to your personal physician. With over 20 years of emergency room experience, Dr. Erickson is bringing personalized, access-driven healthcare to the Plains. You can find out more. You can become a member today by visiting SendMedicine.com. That's SENNMedicine.com. Again, regardless of your stage of life, whether you're before college, whether you're in college, just out of college like the two of us, whether you're getting the real life adulting getting started, or you've hit the part of you're starting to send your kids off to that spot, or you just hit full-on retirement and you're living the best life that you possibly can. Regardless of what it is, Mr. Erickson will be able to take care of you. Again, sendmedicine.com, SENNmedicine.com. And again, we were able to go and hear from the three coaches. Again, Coach Alex Golish, and then it went to Coach Joel Gordon, and then it went to Coach DJ Durkin, and got to hear them speak. Again, we'll play some of that for you here in just a little bit. But we were able to receive all of the game notes from 2026 Auburn football. Again, on the front page, obviously Auburn and Baylor, but it dives into just about everything. And on the main page, it talks about some of the storylines. And that's where I want to get started here this afternoon, because, again, it talks about the matchup at Mercedes-Benz marks the first neutral site game to begin a season since the 2019 game for Auburn when they opened up against Oregon in Arlington, Texas. I know a lot of people remember that contest. Auburn is 4-1 in season openers in Atlanta, with the Saturday's matchup being the first time the Tigers have opened in Atlanta since defeating number 6 Washington 21-16. Can you name the quarterback on that Washington team?
Oh, Jake Browning?
No.
Jacob Eason? No. Wait, no. 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 Okay. Wait. Hold on. In 2016?
In 2018.
In 2018. Okay. Let me go back and look through my mind, because Jake Browning was when they made the playoffs. It was the guy after Jake Browning. It wasn't Jacob Eason, because Jacob Eason came the next year. Oh, God.
I messed up. It is.
It is. I was right. It was Jake Browning.
Yes.
Who just got cut by somebody.
For some reason, I was thinking Herbert, but that was the year following.
Herbert was at Oregon, not Washington.
I know. That's why I was thinking the year after.
Yeah.
So that's on me. It was, yes. Mr. Mr. Jake Browning. And again, what a fun game that this one was in Atlanta, 21-16. Again, that was the game that at least I think of, the Sal Cannella catch, where it was like, holy cow, we're going to utilize a 6'8 tight end outside the hashes, and look how awesome this is going to be. And Bobby Whitlow ran over a guy in the goal line, and what a great game that it was. But yeah, it's weird to think that that was the last time this Auburn team started again a neutral site in Atlanta in 2018, a Chick-fil-A kickoff game. The Tigers are 49-48-8 all time in Atlanta, including 1-2 in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And so we'll hope that that number won't get to 500. Saturday's game talks about it being a rematch of Byron Brown and DJ Lagway from 2025, a game again where South Florida walked into Gainesville and won that one 18-16. And man, we heard a lot about DJ Lagway this afternoon, whether that was from Alex Golish, whether that was from DJ Durkin, talking about, man, if this guy is healthy, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the country. And talks about not only the arm strength, not only the ability to make plays with his legs, but the overall toughness as well. A lot of positive remarks towards Lagway from those two coaches specifically.
Yeah, and I think that just with what he brings, you know, a lot of people are, in my opinion, Christian, I'd love to get your take on this, about, is he a system fit with Baylor and with this kind of more air raid passing attack? But I think that you have to realize that what they were asking him to do when he was at Florida maybe just was, hey, we're going to lean on the running a game more rather than the throwing game. Maybe he's still good enough. We just get an opportunity to see it at Florida.
No, I mean, that's one of the things that I've talked about all the time with Baylor and DJ Lagway is, yeah, you're bringing Lagway into an Aranda offense that is very much a heavy air raid, a heavy passing game. And obviously, again, the OC working his way from Kansas State as well is going to bring a couple of those wrinkles. But again, we know the aggressiveness that we saw last year with Baylor of, man, if it's 4th and 4, 4th and 5 at the plus 50, even if you have the chance of kicking a 45-50-yard field goal, we're going to continue to go for it. And you saw the success. You also saw the failure from that side of things. But it is a little bit interesting, and going to see if they are trying to keep Lagway in the pocket and allow him to use his arm strength, or if they are going to open it up and let him become a true dual threat. I feel like you see a lot more quarterbacks, and both coaches again talked about the way that you don't really have pocket passers in the game anymore. It's a little bit more few and far between because everybody wants to evade the pocket. Everybody wants to make guys miss, and when you have dual threat mobile quarterbacks, it adds another wrinkle into your offense. Interesting to see what they do with DJ Lagway, and that was why DJ Durkin talked about why it's so nice going up against Byron Brown every day in practice, because you now have one of the best, if not the best, dual threat quarterbacks in the SEC, if not the entire country, to go after every single day to, as Durkin said, pick Byron Brown's brain, but then also for Byron to pick DJ Durkin's brain and see what works, what doesn't, to see what they can continue to work on together. Because, man, we talk about what Byron's going to do against other defenses, but how nice is it to be able to have a guy like that go up against your defense? And again, on the flip side, something we've talked a little bit more about is you talk about getting Byron Brown in this offense ready to go in the SEC. What better way to do that than against a DJ Durkin defense?
Right, and Byron Brown has proven production. You look at this stat that they gave us, was he enters the 2026 season as the active FBS total touchdown leader.
Wow.
93 touchdowns in his career. That's 10 more than Rocco Beck. That's got to do some math here. That's 11 more or 7 sorry, 7 more than Rocco Beck, 11 more than Josh Hoover. Like, these are guys that have been in college football for a long time at multiple stops. Byron Brown did this all at USF. Rocco Beck's been a Power 4 quarterback. Josh Hoover's been a Power 4 quarterback. Noah Fifita's been in Arizona for God knows how long. And Devin Dampier, also impressive because he did a lot of that at New Mexico with the Lobos. But Byron Brown doing this at the entirety of it at the G6 level is so impressive and could bring tons of upside for Auburn this year.
Auburn is 25-8-1 all time against current members of the Big 12. With its now six games against Baylor, the second most against any opponent in the league behind Houston, which Auburn has played seven times.
I guess last time they did that was 2021 Birmingham.
Yeah, I don't remember the bowl. I don't remember the bowl game on that side of things. We talked about, again, the good and the bad. I guess you could take this for face value, but you talk about the quarterback position being a big-time – what's the right word? Struggle, frustration for Auburn, especially over the last handful of years. You feel like you've been able to go back and you see the quarterbacks that have been able to spend multiple years here, right? I mean, when you think about Campbell, you think about Chris Todd, you think about guys like that. Yeah, even just the Nick Marshall, Jarrett Stidham that spent 2 years at Auburn. Byron Brown will be Auburn's 25th starting quarterback since 2000.
Wow.
And that's not starting the season, obviously, because of what I just prefaced, but the idea that there have been 25 starting quarterbacks since the year 2000 goes to show that the second, third, and fourth year guys that may have made those starts since 2000, since about COVID, those numbers have quickly leveled out to where Auburn is at the spot of basically starting a new quarterback every single season. That being said, gosh, don't I hope that Byron Brown stays Auburn's 25th starting quarterback, because if you get to the point where all of a sudden there's somebody else that has to make his way throughout the season, I think that just builds even more of the oh gosh factor, but we don't discuss that here this afternoon. But a very interesting thought just on, again, Byron Brown being Auburn's 25th starting quarterback since 2000. The previous 24 are 18-6. In their Auburn debuts, and so it's a pretty good number right there. And Auburn's 2026 campaign marks its 134th season of college football. The Tigers have 809 all-time wins, the 14th most among FBS programs. So some of the cool storylines that Auburn football will take with them to Atlanta, but Auburn football is not the only game going on here this weekend. We're going to dive into some of the top games in college football in week one before we have the opening statement from head coach Alex Golish, as well as some of the strengths and some more of the weaknesses that we want to see Auburn continue to work on in 2026. We're just underway here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You're on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton. Be a part of the show by calling 334-321-1390 or text us at 334-784-1685.
Back here on the Monday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. Appreciate everybody for being here with us. Just got done breaking down some of the storylines, some of the game notes for the Auburn Tigers here in 2026 as they make their way up to Atlanta to take on Baylor in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And before we continue on that side of things, man, did just want to look at the overall schedule for ESPN here this week. And I hate to just the saying of like we're back, but when you're looking at games on Thursday, you're looking at games on Friday, you're looking at a whole slate on Saturday where I have to continue to scroll and continue to scroll. You then have games on Sunday. You then have games again, or you have one game rather, highlighted on Monday, September 7th. We're finally here. We are the entire off-season talk has finally come and gone, and it gets started again. If you're a crazy, and we both say that as the best compliments possible, UMass and Rutgers get started at 5 o'clock on the Big Ten Network at 5 o'clock, or you can make your way and go watch that game for $12 if you really choose to, or you can make your way to the Bounce House at UCF and watch that game for $8, or you can make your way
up. Watch a former national champion, Christian.
Sure, yes. Or you could go your way to Winston-Salem and watch Wake Forest take on Akron for $9. But again, it's college football. There's some pretty solid games on Thursday and Friday. Saturday is obviously the big-time slate, but some of the games that maybe stand out to you on Thursday and Friday, I know that there's one that may mean a little bit more, and it's not the Georgia Bulldogs.
No, it's the better team in the state of Georgia in terms of academics, color scheme, and overall happiness for me. It's the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets taking on the Colorado Golden Buffalo, and in a rematch of last year's game, it came down to the wire in Boulder. It was Haynes King, the hero, late there, going on at the same time as Auburn-Baylor, if you remember correctly, on that Friday night. So imagine being me watching both those games at the same time. I genuinely, like, we were at an establishment downtown watching the game, and I had the Georgia Tech game on my phone, and I legit was just like, look, I'm stressing over two different things right now. Like, y'all are just, I think I didn't talk to anybody. I was just like, locked in. But again, another rematch of the 1990 split championship. That is not a Colorado did not win that national championship. Don't let anyone tell you that they did. Idaho, Utah is going to be a good one. Idaho looking to bounce back from a loss to Cal Poly. Jack and I were watching that in our hotel room in Fort Walton Beach, and Cal Poly throws like it's like fourth down. They had a bad play the play before. And they throw it, instead of throwing it to the sticks, he throws it to the 40 yards of the end zone and just makes a play. They head to Utah.
It better not be a good game.
Yeah, it better not be a good game. But
it better not be a good game because I have Devon Dampier as my college fantasy quarterback.
Oh yeah.
Got that last night. I believe I have another one tonight.
We'll talk about this a little bit more later this week, but UAB Illinois. The highest ticket price of the night at $200.
I mean, that brand new Jumbotron, everybody's got to go up there and see Illinois, who sits at a 27.5-point favorite.
We also have the Delaware Blue Hens taking on Merrimack and Nick Minicucci. Did you see they landed a 4-star quarterback this week?
I did.
I think I tagged you in, and I was like, the heir.
It's fantastic work.
But, I mean, I think Thursday, it's highlighted by Georgia Tech, Colorado. But I don't see a game that's going to be other than, I'm going to watch a lot of these games, but there's not going to be a game that the casual viewer is going to want to dive into outside of that 7 o'clock window.
Yeah, you do have one ranked matchup. No, two ranked teams, rather, not a ranked matchup, but two ranked teams on that Thursday. You have Utah, which you mentioned. You also have Missouri taking on Arkansas Pine Bluff as 54.5-point favorites. You work your way to Friday, and you have Oklahoma taking on UTEP. Oklahoma right around 6-touchdown favorites in that contest. Long Island taking on Kansas. That
L-I-U.
Shouldn't be a good game, but it's like, yeah, I'm going to tune in. I want to watch the Sharks. Let me see what jerseys they bring out to Lawrence, Kansas. You have Miami taking on public enemy number one in the Stanford Cardinal.
Wow.
Miami is 24.5-point favorites in that one. And then Fresno State, a team that you've seen a little bit more hype on this season, making their way to the Pac-12. It's a team that wants to dominate the line of scrimmage and control time of possession, really try and shorten the game with their run game. They head up to USC to take on Lincoln Riley and Jaden Maiava. They're right around 3-touchdown favorites, and it's an 8 o'clock start, so there may actually be more than 14 fans.
Yeah, I was about to say, $21 for a price at the Coliseum is $20 more than I think they need to be selling them for. That's such a shocking thing that there's just no one that cares in Los Angeles about college football.
Well, Tripp, it was hot.
I saw that. I saw Colin Coward, who is like the biggest Lincoln Riley defender, is the term I'm going to use because there's a lot of terms I don't know if I can get away with on the radio. But basically, like, guys, there's beaches. There's 31 different music venues. The Dodgers had a game that day. Why are we getting mad at USC?
And that right there shows the difference, folks.
It just means more. It
means everything. I saw a statement released talking about USC, which credit nationally to the cameraman that started with USC walking out of the tunnel and then kind of panned up. And you saw about four rows deep of fans, and then it was just empty seats. But obviously not the best look for Southern Cal. But USC issued a statement regarding this game to the substandard showing. says, quote, "We understand the factors that impacted Saturday's attendance. We have high expectations and a premier home schedule this season, and we know the competitive advantage an electric Coliseum atmosphere can provide for our program. We thank our fans who showed up on Saturday, and we look forward to an increased attendance the rest of the season." The school officially announced it was 51,144. I think the comma's in the wrong spot, maybe like 5,144.4, maybe. It was the lowest of Lincoln Riley's tenure with Southern Cal.
But things are fine. Things are fine. Things are fine in Southern Cal. Lincoln Riley is not on the hot seat, guys. They're a top 14 team.
I mean, the temperature was 94 degrees. So
I've been at multiple Auburn kickoffs at 11 a.m. that are double that temperature.
I don't know. I figured that was...
They gave up 23 points in the fourth quarter.
Oh, yeah. I mean, San Jose State just marched down. Jade Maiava didn't play the entire fourth, or I don't believe so.
Well, Jade Maiava don't play defense, Paul.
He don't, but it helps when he's moving the football for him, which makes it to where the other team traditionally can't score points, unless you're Hawaii. Then you can score points on, or then you can give up points on offense, which is not necessarily fun. Some fantastic games on Saturday as well. I mean, again, you have Indiana in action at 11, Alabama, Houston as well at 11 o'clock. You have Ohio State at 11:30, where they are 50.5-point favorites with the over-under at 56.5. So basically, if Ball State scores a touchdown,
we're back.
That's basically what they're overall projections are. You have Boise State going to Eugene to take on the Oregon Ducks. What a game that could be. Texas State going to Texas. What a game that could possibly be. Again, Oregon 24.5-point favorites. Texas 30.5-point favorites. But you're talking about two teams that could run the table at least a little bit in terms of the G6. Boise State and Texas State could possibly see some. One of those games... Well, I don't want to make that promise, but you feel as if one of those games could get the text of Bobcats only down 3 at halftime, and it's like 17-14, and then all of a sudden the final score is 49-17.
Yeah, it is so gross to me that knowing that that 2:30 CBS game is Boise State, Oregon, where you're there, we're here live from Autzen Stadium. Meanwhile, Auburn and Baylor is happening in Atlanta. It's like, flip them. I don't care. Give us CBS back on the SEC, please.
Yeah, a wild thought there. I know there were talks about possibly getting the music back for that. Iowa taking on UNI Northern Illinois. Hey, watch out for NIU early on in the season. You never know. Just ask our guy, Brandon Gurgley.
Oh, that's no, don't do Brandon like that.
I'll happily take a shot at Brandon Gurgley whenever I predicted his team to win the national championship.
Fair, you've earned.
I can take whatever shot that I want to possibly take at him. Missouri State heads to Texas A&M. Texas Tech hosts Abilene Christian. And again, the fact that there's just games on, but plenty more that we're going to dive into throughout the week. Clemson at LSU highlighting the night slate, and then you work your way towards Sunday. You work your way to Monday as well. A lot of really, really good matchups. Again, we're excited to be able to dive into everything kind of as the week progresses.
Virginia Tech, a 55.5-point favorite over VMI. The over-under, 61.5.
Let's go, baby.
James Franklin, baby.
College football is officially back. And so is weekly press conferences for head coach Alex Golish. We play his opening statement from earlier this afternoon, diving into all things Auburn and Baylor when we come back.
On the line, and we're just 30 minutes in. Now back to the studio with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7.
What a little long, a little under 30 more minutes here in hour number one, but just means you're having a fun time, and we were able to dive into a lot of the week one games that we'll continue to go through. We'll continue to make our picks for as well. We do have an updated count for our kind of on-the-line pick'em, if you will, and we'll be able to dive into that in hour number two, where we talk about some of the week zero games. Partner, I will not... I don't know. I can't delay your record for too much longer. But it's a long season. It's the tortoise and the hare. Doesn't matter where you start. It matters where you finish.
Get us while we're down. Get us now. Go ahead. Get us now.
Tripp did not love week zero in terms of picking overall games, but who cares? We got to watch football, and that's the biggest concern with everything. But we mentioned it just a few minutes ago that we were able to make our way up to the football facility and check out head coach Alex Golish, his opening statements, his questions as well as Joel Gordon and DJ Durkin, all things for week one's press conference as Auburn takes on Baylor. I wanted to be able to play a little bit of that audio, not necessarily the question, but here was Coach Golish's opening statements. Again, we talk a lot about the talent on the Baylor side of the football and what he's expected to see, but how his team has worked its way through fall camp as well as the mock week. So here was the head coach of the Auburn Tigers, Alex Golish, previewing the Baylor Bears.
Awesome. Appreciate you guys being here. Appreciate the media that was here last night, covered that event. I thought it was a cool deal for our kids, and certainly appreciate you guys being there that covered it. Well, it's game week, which is awesome. We're excited to be a part of this AFLAC kickoff game on Saturday. Excited to head to Atlanta on Friday, and we've got a long week of work ahead of us to get to where we got to go and to where we're ready to rock and roll. So our kids were in today. They'll be in tonight. Normal Tuesday, normal Wednesday, normal Thursday for us. And then we'll practice Friday morning and head over to Atlanta. Again, just excited to get game one. You know, as you go into year one and get rolling, I think for me, just as exciting as anything to see us go perform. And we spent so much time talking and working through so many different things that you just want to go and play the very best you can, and then continue to grow and learn from that. So, starting off with Baylor, and you know, a unique challenge in a lot of ways. Got a ton of respect for Coach Aranda and what he's done, not just at Baylor but over his career, having coached against them for a while now. But for him going into his seventh year and there's a lot of new there, a lot to prepare for, a lot of challenges that are presented just simply with as much newness as you're getting ready for. They're obviously in the same boat where there's a ton of newness they're preparing for. So it should be a really good matchup. You know, these guys offensively, this offensive coordinator, I feel like we've crossed paths just a ton going back to the West Virginia time. He's done a really good job in reference to Coach Spavital and, you know, was there at the foundation of the air raid and has made it his own, and watching it transition from West Virginia to where they are now. Obviously really, really tough and present a lot of challenges in terms of using the entire field, in terms of the vertical shot game and just the ability to spread the field width-wise, present a lot of challenges. You've got a brand new quarterback and a young guy that is transferring over and has had 2 years at the University of Florida, where obviously played as a young guy, got better and better and better as it went, and now a fully healthy version of DJ Lagway, I would imagine, is the best version of him, and presents a ton of challenges. One, with what he can do with his arm, but two, certainly what he can do with his legs. And in all honesty, if this is the best version of him, is one of the best quarterbacks in the entire country. And again, we'll present a ton of challenges. And here's a young guy that started a ton of games and is just a junior. So it'll be really interesting. I got a ton of respect for him and for that young guy a year ago, to watch him play through a bunch of injuries. You know, he's tough, certainly presents himself as a leader, and you talk about an offense that was top five in the country in passing a year ago. You add somebody like him and top 20 in the country overall offensively will present a lot of challenges for us. Again, replace a lot in terms of their top rusher, their top four wideouts. There's a lot of new. So as you prepare, you're kind of watching other teams play in order to get from a personnel standpoint, you know schematically what you're going to get. At least you feel like you do going in. And it does present challenges. Defensively, same deal, a lot of new. New defensive coordinator coming over from Kansas State. Three new coaches on that side of the ball. Coach Aranda, obviously involved defensively. So you're preparing for a lot of different things. You're watching a lot of different film and trying to get a really good feel. And you're kind of prepared for the unknown, and that's always week one. But certainly when you get a new staff, and they do return four starters defensively, bringing over four guys from Kansas State, and then an influx on both sides of the ball of talent in terms of through the portal, and then some young guys that played a year ago that'll get opportunities. From a special team standpoint, return the kicker, return one of the best punters in the country, which presents a challenge in itself. And then in the return game, a young man coming over from Oklahoma State that has shown a ton of promise over the last couple of years as a returner, which will present challenges for us. For us on special teams, week one, you just watch enough week zero games, you kind of figure out, man, there's either you're going to get embarrassed or you're going to make a difference on special teams here in week one. And for us to continue to be as aggressive as we've been the last couple of years on special teams will be a huge piece for us to let that be certainly a difference maker in the game. Outside of that, we're in a good spot health-wise. We're in a good spot mentally and emotionally, and we're ready to go attack week one. So I'm excited to see our guys go play really fast, play free, and go into week one here as we establish the identity of what Auburn football is going to be for years to come.
That was head coach Alex Golish at his press conference from earlier this afternoon. Again, a lot of positive talks towards DJ Lagway, and it's funny, you're seeing so many people in the media talking about, yeah, you know, it's week one of a media availability, week one of a press conference, when the other coach walks up and says, yeah, I have a ton of respect for this, insert whoever you're playing, because again, whether that's coach speak or not, you feel as if there is a mutual respect, and maybe even more so for a guy like DJ Lagway, because Golish talked about how in the recruiting he crossed paths with him as well as DJ Durkin. I mean, he remembered him from his time at Texas and being able to see what he was able to do. And so Auburn and Baylor, the rematch. Not quite the home and home, but Auburn at home inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I know that there's a whole lot of excitement, and again, just goes to show you that game week is officially here when you're starting to hear. How nice is it, too, that you're able to hear another head coach talking about the team that they're actually going to play, more than just, yeah, we're going to continue to make sure that we're doing the right steps. It's actually, okay, you get to hear a little bit of the coach's mindset into what the game plan is going to look like against the team that stands on the other side of the sideline.
It's so nice, and I really like the idea that it's not as much us focused as it's been in these messages the past couple months. And obviously, you're more worried about your program than you are Baylor, but that's only one of the two teams that's going to take the field on Saturday.
Yeah.
You do have to kind of address it and talk about it. It's nice to hear that instead of hearing questions about what's all going right, all what's going wrong. It's here's what we're going to look scouting wise and stuff like that.
Are you guys doing all right?
No. Oh, you are all left.
No, you are all left. Burm, burm, burm. You know, you know. If you know, you know. We'll take a break. We'll come back, because the very last thing that Alex Golish said was talking about special teams. And he said in week zero, these teams learned a lot, that special teams can either win you a lot of games or could possibly lose you a lot of games. Tripp found some numbers again in the game notes as well that we want to be able to dive into to talk about the special teams of the past for the Auburn Tigers and what they hope to improve on in 2026. All of that coming up as we wrap up hour number one right after this.
You are on the line with Christian Griffin and Tripp Upton on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up the first hour here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Appreciate everybody for being here with us and spending some time as we count you down closer to Saturday, closer to game week here on ESPN 106.7. Reminder, Wings 94.3 is where you need to be all Saturday as we get you started with game day on Wings 5 hours before kickoff. And then the Auburn Sports Network crew will take over from there with kickoff at 2:30. Again, Wings 94.3, where you need to be if you're not in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Even if you are in Mercedes-Benz Stadium, why not? Bring the AirPods, bring whatever you need. Wings 94.3, the place that you need to go. But the very last statement that head coach Alex Golas said in his opening statement was something that caught your eye, Tripp, and you were able to look into the notes and find some pretty interesting stats that you're hoping that Auburn can continue to clean up and improve on in 2026 when it comes to the special teams.
Yeah, when's the last time that Auburn's special teams has won them a game? If you can tell me, I know with your brain you might be able to find one, but I'm looking at some of these statistics where last time that Auburn's blocked a field goal was 2021. Year one of Brian Harsnip's Colby Wooden against Alabama State, and where Nehemiah Pritchett returned it for a touchdown. Last time that they blocked a punt was that same year, Kalen Newton versus Mississippi State. I believe that is Cam Newton's brother, correct?
That is correct.
He blocked a punt for the last time. Last time they blocked
when
a punt.
That was Mississippi State win?
2021. That was the game that they were like up like 24-0 in blue.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. And then
first one that comes to mind, special teams winning a football game, is LSU in 2016. That was the 18-13 game.
Yes, and that is the last time that Auburn has kicked 6+ field goals in a game.
I hope there's not too many games where Auburn's kicked 6+ field goals.
And speaking of that 2016 year, last time that Auburn blocked a PAT was against Ole Miss in 2016 by Montravius Adams.
To be fair, again, we talked about this a little bit off air. It was like, okay, when's the last time I've truly seen a blocked extra point?
You have watched. I've seen Georgia Tech had some bad kickers in the late 2010s.
Sure, but I guess meaningful. I don't know. The one that comes to mind is
The Florida
Jaden
State
Daniels respect number 5, but
well, that was just a shanked field goal. That was a shanked kick. He didn't block. Or maybe
no,
he
got blocked.
Oh, you're right. You did. You're right. My mistake.
That was, LSU scored with no time left, went 99 yards.
I remember that, yes.
To kick off the season and had the extra point blocked.
But I just, you did have the punt return or the kickoff return from Pleasant last season against Baylor in week one. And then you have Keontae Scott against Arkansas in 2023. But if Auburn can start making those points and the margins matter in special teams, they're going to find themselves, especially with the amount of one-score ball games they play, a whole lot better.
Yeah, again, special teams is one of those things that you don't truly notice until it goes really good or it goes really, really bad. And Auburn has the pieces now to make that a big-time strength for the Tigers on the field in 2026. We'll talk another set of Tigers down in the Bayou to start hour number two.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text in at 334-784-1685. The boys are bringing you all the action on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. When it comes to the Tigers, the SEC, and the hottest topics in sports, this is where you want to be.
As of right now, Auburn is set to play LSU on October 24th. Could we possibly see that change?
Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, straight from the ESPN 106.7 studio, here's Christian Griffin and Tripp Upton.
Hour number one in the books. We welcome you into hour number two here on this Monday afternoon. here on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin here with you inside the studio. Another hot day here in the Auburn-Opelika area. I can say hot because it officially hit 90, and so if it's 90 degrees, that means you can't go watch football, according to those in Southern California. So apologies,
losers.
But maybe that's why we're going inside, because we actually – we need to go in a dome so we can actually watch football, because here in the South, we're not used to the heat when it comes to football, he said sarcastically. Appreciate everybody for being here with us. Got to talk a lot, man. It's officially game week for the Auburn Tigers. Auburn and Baylor, man. We are continuing to count down the days. Week zero, we got the appetizer. Thursday is when things really get started. That's kind of the second course, all right? That's a little bit more than just the chips and queso. You're getting a little bit, but it's still not the Saturday slate where everything really, really gets started. But we were able to dive into some of those contests as well. Tripp and I, throughout the week, we'll dive into a kind of a list of the top five games coming up here this weekend. We got to hear from Coach Alex Golish in the opening statement that he gave earlier this afternoon in his week one press conference, and then how Auburn can continue to improve on the special teams side of things. And so what that could possibly look like, we'll dive into some of the stats that were impressive, but then we're also kind of frustrating as well. And so all of that was in hour number one. If you missed any of it, you can always check it out at our podcast center here at ESPNAU.com. And in hour number two, going to dive into a little bit on the LSU football drama, because believe it or not, there's drama on the football side of things in Baton Rouge. More tweets, more drama coming out from Ross Dellinger talking about what the SEC could possibly do, what NFL teams are doing to compound that, or to almost respond to something like that. And so we'll be able to talk a little bit about that. We also have the week zero games that we want to be able to dive into as well. And then Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network going to be joining us at 3:30 to talk about what we saw inside Jordan-Hare Stadium over this past weekend, as well as, again, just getting his thoughts from all things Auburn and Baylor. So really excited to dive into everything. Phone lines are open for the first 30 minutes of the second hour, which you can be a part of at 334-784-1390. Almost read the text box.
Yes.
But 334-321-1390 is the text box. The send medicine. Oh my gosh. Hold on. The phone lines.
Do you want me to do it?
I'll get it this time. Okay. I promise. The phone lines are open at 334-321-1390. The Send Medicine text box is always open, but you can be a part of at 334-784-1685. Gotten some text in there. We'll get to those here in just a little bit, but do want to remind you that the text box is brought to you by Send Medicine, because at Send Medicine, you get VIP medical care with direct access to your personal physician. With over 20 years of emergency room experience, Dr. Eric Sen is bringing personalized, access-driven healthcare to the Plains. You can find out more. You can become a member today by visiting senmedicine.com. That's senmedicine.com. And it appears that we have a phone call we're going to get to start hour number two. I believe we have James on the line. How are you doing on this Monday afternoon?
I'm doing good, man. How about yourself?
Man, we're doing well. It's hard to complain when it's game week.
Yes, sir. Hey, I got a quick question. I know it hasn't been talked about much. Auburn's special teams. Well, we know that, you know, the field goal kicker, Alex McPherson, he's solid. How did the punting job play out?
I believe it's
still going to be the starting punter.
I believe Hudson Cock, who was the punter last season, will be returning and handling
right.
The punting duties. From what we've seen both in practice as well as what we've heard from the coaches, that's what it's looking like. It's going to be him returning after he had his first year last year.
Right. I know they got the guy in from Australia, but I didn't know.
Yes, so I believe, I don't think this is anything completely official, but I believe the understanding was for Hudson to almost be the mentor, because Hudson's from Australia as well, and so for the For the new punter from Australia to redshirt this year. I guess if the word redshirt truly means anything anymore, as of right now, it technically still holds a little bit of value, but then that's projected to be the future again. I don't believe that is confirmed, but I think that is kind of the rumblings that we've heard.
Appreciate your time.
Yes, sir. Of course. Appreciate you for being a call, getting us started on the phone lines here in hour number two. And, I mean, yeah, you were continuing to read some of the crazy stats on the special team side of things. Wild to think that Alex McPherson's first year, what, in Kyle Field,
yes,
was the last 50-yard field goal that Auburn's had?
Yeah, which is really surprising because Auburn's had a history of good kickers. I mean, you look at Daniel Carlson, he's been great. I mean, you had Anders, who did play in the NFL. He had his ups and downs, but ended up being decent. And, you know, Wes Byron was good in college. So I think that it's really interesting that that hasn't happened. Granted, that is because of the injury, you know, the sickness that Alex had, and he's been the assumed starter. And you hope that you were going to get that with Talens Magoo as well, but now he's with Cal. And that's such a shocking statistic. I would not be surprised if I had to circle one of those that I talked about, like a field goal block, a punt block, a return. That's probably the one I'm circling for this season, that Alex McPherson hits a 50-plus yard field goal.
Yeah, if there's one that you would feel complete confidence in that changing, I don't see that that would be I would be willing to say that that would be one that I'd have confidence in it changing, but to start hour number two, we did want to dive into the LSU football drama because, believe it or not, although it sounds like we're a broken record, it's not the same drama. It is a little bit of the same, but there's more wrinkles to it, and it just continues to work its way down the road, continues to work its way, I can't even really say closer to any sort of solutions. The last that we had heard, the SEC made their official statements with the Big Ten and now with the Big 12 and a lot of the G6 conferences as well of, okay, professional players will not make their way back to the college game. And then we saw over the weekend that the SEC was almost kind of backing down from what they initially said, and it's like, okay, we will comply with whatever is working. A lot of people have taken that as just a straight-up weakness of, oh, wow, okay, the SEC couldn't even stand up to what they initially said. I think that's more so waiting for the 5 for 5 than going out and making a straight fool of themselves on that side of things. And so I don't necessarily repent or just hate that sort of statement. But now, not even necessarily the SEC, but some of its members, some of the other teams in the SEC are possibly diving into an extreme punishment over LSU adding former NFL players. And I realize that the counter argument for all of this, especially on the social media side of things, is, okay, well, it's a backup tight end and it's a defensive lineman. Like, come on. If that's what you're going to argue, then, you know, you need to go put your soapbox somewhere else because there's bigger problems. I understand that. Yet, I think when looking at the bigger picture, not only in college sports but in life, again, you give an inch, people take a mile.
Yeah.
If it starts with just a backup tight end and just a depth piece on the defensive line, imagine what it could work its way out into. And so that is why I am all for the statements that have been made and all for, again, what the SEC is possibly wanting right now with the SEC or with the LSU Tigers of possibly some pretty big punishments, again, of boycotting competition, sanctions that include probation or expulsion from the SEC in pursuing federal lawsuits. That is what certain SEC individuals are wanting the SEC to basically put matters into their own hands with the LSU Tigers. Your thoughts when you saw this released just a couple of hours, and then again a couple of minutes ago, even more news as well.
Yeah, it's so shocking that this is possible. You know, I saw a funny video. It was like Tulane walking back into the SEC now that LSU's gone, and I thought that was the funniest thing ever. But no, I really liked your point, and I was going to make it myself, but you made it eloquently of you give an inch, you take a mile. Right now it might be a backup defensive tackle or a backup tight end, and suddenly it's a starting quarterback in the middle of November. Look at NIL. It was supposed to be just so that players could eat for free at restaurants and promote mom and pop shops. And, you know, maybe you get like one or two players a year that get like a cool kind of branding opportunity. And now it's just, hey, how much money you want? We'll just funnel it through our NIL collective.
Before you even play a snap.
Before you even play a snap. To commit to your school, Tennessee, with your running back, who is really, really good, but still. I just think that it's such an extreme kind of punishment where, hey, you might not be an SEC member anymore.
You're saying you think the punishments are extreme in terms of like, don't agree, or in terms
of
severity?
I don't know, but do you think that the possibility of this, do you think that these are legitimate threats or just we're going to basically kind of what the Big 12 ratchet up the pressure and know that you're going to cave to give you an off ramp?
I mean, it's one thing for this to be put on paper. It's another thing for the action to actually be put into place. And I mean, the SEC gets a lot of value and a lot of money from the LSU Tigers, and you're at a spot now of whether it's for better or for worse. And I guess at some point this changes, but how any publicity is good publicity. This is obviously not so great in terms of LSU in a vacuum, but when you're looking at all of the clicks that LSU is getting, you're looking at all the clicks that the SEC is getting as well. I'm sure there's a little bit of a value that's being put onto everything that's going on right now. But
Rich, speaking of value, did you see what else was about LSU this morning about what they're like basically going to be using to hedge their bets for the season? Literally, they put a third party is helping LSU hedge against potential bonus payments to football coach Lane Kiffin if used bets on team's performance on Kalshi or any other like thing like that offset the total. And so what this is meaning to me, based on what this reporting is saying, is there were trades or sports bets effectively made by on LSU's behalf that the combined total is three. If they were to cash, it's $3 million, which would be exactly equal to Lane Kiffin's buyout if those happened.
So they would use that rather than diving into their own funds?
Yes. So like if they have things that would have Lane Kiffin win LSU wins the national title, and it's equal to what Lane Kiffin would make if they were to make it there and win it.
Huh. I haven't seen that. Honestly, I haven't even looked into that side of things. But I did see something that LSU put above their locker room, and I'm sure that many of people have seen it now on social media or heard other people talk about it. We knew that our buddy Doug Amos of the Max Roundtable was able to kind of break this when it started being released a couple of hours ago. But it's above LSU's locker room right when you walk in that says, quote, "If you want to win at the highest level, you have to become a villain in somebody else's story." And although I think that that overall statement has a lot of value, it's one of those like, wow, of all the people to try and spin that into a positive side or a positive thoughts. It's like the LSU Tigers, you're the ones that are going to try and spin this to where you're now kind of the victim, even though you're playing villain. It's like, okay, well, we're going to make somebody mad regardless. We might as well accept that villain mindset. It's like,
yeah,
you realize how you could not be the villain, do what everybody else is doing in college football.
Which,
not saying that everybody else is not a villain in their own right, because we know the black market of college football,
yeah,
and the under the rug, under the table acts that go on in terms of the gentleman's game of, okay, we're not going to disclose anything of this.
That's what the SEC did. I mean, everyone everyone up until the NIL era paid for players. That's kind of the understood thing, but it was a, no one's going to say anything mm-hmm. to someone else unless you break one of our rules, exactly. effectively. Where it was like, when Ole Miss got busted for doing it, it was because it was a Mississippi State person that broke it. Like, it's violating the rules, you know? Mm-hmm. And I just think it's very, very, very interesting. And another point that Doug brought up, I want to get your opinion on, was the fact of him bringing up, well, you know, people all yell at Lane Kiffin and make Lane Kiffin the villain, but in 2022, you wanted to hire him. And Alabama looked to him potentially as the successor at one point to Nick Saban. But at the same time, I think that the Auburn Athletic Administration, I think the Alabama Athletic Administration would not allow this to go on. But LSU's does, because at LSU, winning matters more than morals.
I did hear him talk a little bit about how now you're at the point of Auburn fans and Alabama fans are rejoicing over not getting somebody like Lane Kiffin just because of the drama that it would have. And again, whether or not their programs would have allowed something like this is, you know, a conversation that is all hypotheticals because it's not working its way
right
into fruition. But yeah, there is a little bit of the relief of, whew, I'm glad that our program's not the one that's in the middle of all of this. And again, whether it would or whether it wouldn't, would all decide if Lane Kiffin were to be the head coach. Final thing before we get to the phone lines, many people don't necessarily love the Kansas City Chiefs because of their winnings and because of what Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Andy Reid are, you know, continue to put together a fantastic product on the field. But I think everybody kind of laughs and is like, all right, thanks, guys. Thanks for taking one for the team. Jack Pyburn was one of the main guys that was in the middle of this conversation of possibly returning back to LSU after the Buccaneers cut him. He had to just clear waivers to basically make his way back to the SEC and play football for LSU. The Kansas City Chiefs just claimed him a couple of hours ago.
Kansas City.
Andy Reid and the Chiefs, thanks for taking one for the SEC. Thanks for taking one for college football. So basically now they have the rights to him, which I think that is absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, that's absolutely hilarious. And I'm glad that, you know, I'm good enough to say in the NFL, I can't go back to college, is absolutely insane. But we head to the phone lines now, and we bring on Andy, my buddy. How are you doing today on this Monday afternoon?
Hey, where we go, guys? How are y'all?
Doing well, doing sir. Well. How about yourself?
Good. Hey, I'll make you a promise. If Auburn does good this season, I'll stop on by with some of those Daisy Dukes for y'all. It has been a while.
I went over there not too long ago and grabbed one just and thought of you.
Well, they've gone up in prices. I think every month I go there, they go up a dollar. So they were pretty cheap, but the ingredients they use are top quality. So I guess I understand.
Sure.
They'll wake you up. I called someone else about this, and I wanted to get y'all's input. I wanted to call y'all, but you guys weren't on the air. I have disliked Lane Kiffin as long as I can remember him. You know, maybe when I was younger, I was a little jealous
sure.
him being a coach so young, and I think we're about the same age, and I'm like, well, I'm doing this, and he's a coach of the Raiders or something like that. And then when he got fired, I'm like, okay, good. I feel better about myself. And then just his history of being a horrible person. And I know someone that met him. He said he was a narcissist. He said he was a genius, but just a jerk. A genius you just don't want to be around. He'll let you know he's the genius. And
sure.
Those are the worst. But every few years, I have Auburn people talking about, let's get him. And I want to get y'all's opinion, but let me set it up first. I remember calling in a couple of times, was it last year even, that we're trying to get him. And my big thing is like, he's going to leave us. Like, do we want to hire this guy? And he'll come in. I mean, he's a genius. He will win you games.
Mm-hmm.
But is it worth, you know,
is it worth basically 3 or 4 years of glory until you get stabbed in the back?
Right. Is it worth all the drama? Is it worth being the bad guy? I'm a big fan of Mighty Ducks and all those movies where the good team wears one color and the bad team wears black. You know, the bad team always is that black uniform team. And I'm like, we're going to become that black team and a black uniform team. And the empire, the bad guys, mm-hmm. the villains, And that's so dang funny that he has that on his it's so fitting. He is the Empire. He is, I wish I knew the names of all the bad teams against the Bad News Bears and that soccer team, and you know, but anyways, I just wanted to get y'all's thoughts, and I'll hang up. And there's a lot of people that would say the contrary to what I would say. I would say, unfortunately, keep it how it was. And how it was is what's happened.
Yeah.
The horrible coaches we've gotten, the horrible seasons, the horrible losses. I think last season was very unlucky with the calls and just a coach that kind of didn't care. And, I mean, yeah. I think we're in purgatory for what we did to Gus, how, you know, I don't want to hear it was time for Gus. The decision wasn't made on that. It was a coup d'etat, and they wanted to, but we all know that. So I think we're paying for the sins of what we did there. So I don't think we're the good team right now. Maybe we're coming out of it. But I would choose the hell we've gone through other than, say, we did the Ole Miss road where we picked them up. We had some great seasons, but then we're the laughing stock, now we're the abused partner to the guy that went to Alabama or went to Georgia and left us the way he did. So I'm going to hang up. What would you choose? Would you choose my path of the hell we went through, and maybe we'll become the Good News Bears or where the bad or the Mighty Ducks?
Yeah.
We have, our story's yet to been written, but when we do win, it will be worth it and earned and that much special. Because I tell you, I was in school here in 00, you know, when we had Campbell, and we were leaving games in the fourth, like booing him. And then he became a man. He became a junior, senior, and became one of the older kids, and it was special, you know. And I remember Cam Newton coming. I'm like, this guy's going to ruin the value of the fans. They're going to expect to win. And we went through that. You know, we get upset. Like, Gus is only winning his eight games. I'm like, oh, my God, he's so lucky, you know. So, again, sorry for making a long story short.
No.
Short story long. Which road would you go? The one we went on, or if we could have gotten them and taken the Ole Miss road?
Awesome. Perfect. Appreciate you calling in and being a part of the show. Good to hear from you.
Interesting.
Again, it is very interesting to see how you talk all about how sports are in paralleled with life, right? And how, especially baseball, you talk about like the failure of baseball. It's directly parallel. Football is a little bit as well. A lot of the ways it is, but you're starting to see the differences in, okay, would you do this in normal life? No, but to do it to win football games, maybe. And so it does blur that line of good versus evil. And if you are the evil guy, if it means getting wins, then maybe you can take something like that. A life comparison is, I mean, if you save up for a car, or you save up for a truck, or you save up for whatever, and how much more it means to you to go through those summers of frustration and having to save up all of that money rather than something being gifted to you and then it being taken away, it means that much more when you're the one that worked for it, you're the one that saved up, because you now understand the true value of what it was like when you didn't have something like that. And I think that's a little bit of the route that Auburn is in right now. And again, a fantastic question. I want to be able to answer a little bit more of that here when we come back, because we got to get to the phone lines yet again. Got to get to Jacob Hillman in here as well. But appreciate the call. We're going to answer a little bit more of that when we come back.
You're on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton. Be a part of the show by calling 334-321-1390 or text us at 334-784-1685.
Back here on the Monday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. I was able to answer it. We're going to get to the phone lines here in just a moment as well, but want to give you the opportunity. I said a little bit more of the, I would take the frustration, again, the setup that Andy asked us of, would you rather take the route that Auburn football has been through, or would you rather take those middle years of that being a lot of success and now dealing with a lot of the Lane Kiffin drama, a lot of everything that goes on? Because again, frankly, the reason I would choose the route that Auburn's been on, again, granted there will be a light at the end of the tunnel, and we're hoping that starts in 2026, it would be sickening for me, at least personally speaking. I, Christian Griffin, would be sick is if the Auburn logo was implanted onto all of this drama. That would be worse than a head coach, worse than anything else that's gone on. Having the Auburn logo, which means so much to me, being at the emphasis of all of national media, being laughed at, being clowned upon, and everything on that regard, that would be the biggest thing for me of why I would choose taking what has happened for Auburn rather than another route and now dealing with something like this.
I mean, I think that's valid. I look at like Auburn just through my lens of college football history and being a fan of both Auburn or a fan of a team that does not have an opinion on Auburn other than just what I think. I mean, Auburn's never been the bad guy. It's always been – they've always been the underdog because, you know, you look at a look when I came up, Nick Saban is in Alabama. Then – as I get to my teenage years, Nick Saban's still there. He's rolling. When he's getting that second peak, here comes Georgia across the state line playing a ton of good football. I mean, Mark Rick was always good, but Kirby Smart turns them into the Death Star where when I hear Georgia fans talk about like, God just loves the dogs, and it's like, you guys are the bad guys. Very, like, you guys are the Death Star. You guys just blow up other people's teams, and Kirby Smart yells at your reporters for asking about the opposing stadiums. I'm sure you know a little bit about that, Christian, but I mean – you know, I think that there's a right way and a wrong way to do things in college football. And I know that winning solves all to the fact of, like, if you're an LSU fan, you don't see the problem with this because at the end of the day, you're winning and that's all that matters. I think I'd have to agree with you, though. There's a right way and a wrong way to do it. But we head to the phone lines here on the Monday edition of On the Line, and we have Dan in Auburn, my friend. What do you think? What is your opinion here on this kind of conundrum?
All right. Well, I was one of those people that wanted Lane Kiffin.
I'll be honest. A while back when I was in college and I ran the – I had a little podcast in the Weagle studio. We did a whole show making our full prediction. Yeah, Lane Kiffin was going to be the head coach of Auburn back in, what, 22, 23?
Yeah.
Well, look, if you're going to tell me that I would take 5 years of being 6-7 or 5-7 versus – winning 11 games twice in 10 games two other times and making the playoffs a lot of those times, man, you're asking me to take a lot. I just don't, you know, yeah, he is cocky. You know, I mean, that's kind of the way he acts, the way he is. But, I mean, I totally love what we got now. I feel like we got kind of Lane Kiffin in terms of a high-quality, high-powered coach, you know, on offense. So I am happy now.
Sure.
But 5 years have been hell, this last
yeah.
5 years.
So you're on the standpoint of, again, this is all just hypothetically speaking, but you're at the standpoint of you would have taken the success over the last handful of years and gone through this offseason now of all of this drama, even with Auburn tied in, if that gave that success of what the last handful of years has been.
Well, I mean, y'all are talking about he's a laughing stock, but the truth is, yeah, Ole Miss is mad. They're mad because he left them.
Agreed.
But Ole Miss is a small school. Well, it's hard to win a national championship at Ole Miss.
Sure.
But you could win a national championship at Auburn.
Yeah.
It's already been proven multiple times. So it's like, I don't think he would have been a coach that would have come here, won, and said, oh, I just want to go somewhere else. I think he could have been here for 10 years or longer and retired here. So, but yeah, I mean, you're going to get the cocky with him, some of the tweets and stuff. But, I mean, the guy freaking wins. And you know what? Sometimes, you know, as fans, you ask how many fans out there want to be 5-7. It's horrible.
It is.
Sucks.
No, I don't disagree.
I mean, I hate the last two coaches we had. And I hope I don't ever see them again. You know?
I don't think you're in the silent majority, but I do agree. I think that when you refer to Alex Golish from the standpoint of not necessarily the cocky standpoint, but on that borderline of confidence where it meets a little bit of the arrogance, I think that's the line that Alex Golish brings to Auburn, and I think that is a big-time change that you, as you're referring to, has not been on the plains, and the record has showed quite that.
Yeah. I mean, I think we got us a winner now, finally. But it's been a brutal 5 years.
It definitely has. Maybe we'll get to
appreciate
the point where, yes, sir, appreciate you for calling in and giving your thoughts again. That's why it's the beauty of what we do because, again, one person stands on one side, one stands on the other. And I more than understand the idea of, man, how much happier would these last 4 or 5 years been if you could add four or five more wins every single season. Again, just a
it's crazy because you look at it, like if you're telling me like Auburn's going to go 10-2, 11-1 every year, that means that they're beating teams like Alabama and Georgia.
Yeah, and which makes it to where the offseason, again, you could take those 16 extra wins or whatever, and then deal with whatever this offseason was. It is interesting, though, just from the standpoint of what Ole Miss has, because as funny enough, Dan's the first time that that's been brought up. We haven't heard about them in what feels like forever. It's been Lane Kiffin and LSU. You haven't really heard about the school he left.
Yeah, do you remember when that 4 months, when I, on this very program, probably said, man, I think Pete Golding is one of the biggest, like, you know, gut cheaters where he's trying to, you know, he recruits a player from another team.
Yeah.
That now looks like that makes total sense compared to the madness that Lane Kiffin's brought down at LSU, Christian.
Yeah, it looks like nothing. And it is wild because we thought that LSU would almost tone down the Lane Kiffin effect. And I guess they have from the standpoint of him personally, but now it's more so just the things that are happening that continue to bring Lane's name into things like that. But I mean, we talked about that in Tampa of like, are we going to see a Ole Miss style of, okay, we're the underdog, we're the smaller school, I have to almost step out and make myself known? Or now that I'm at a program that speaks for itself and has the success of what it wants to do every handful of years, which is competing and winning a national championship, are we going to see a little bit of a finer tune, a calmer Lane Kiffin? And I don't really know which one of those that we've seen, because you don't see it on social media, but you see it now in every other aspect of life. And so
his actions are doing a lot more speaking than his words are, and that's very odd for Lane Kiffin.
It's a really good point. It's a really good way of putting that. Again, Andy, appreciate you for calling in and giving us your thoughts, giving us that question. Again, you see the way that that everybody responds to it, and so that's why we love doing what we do, asking those questions. And man, that's going to be a really fun part of the season as we work our way throughout 2026. But we do need to get to break because our guy Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network is going to join us, diving into all things Auburn and Baylor, as well as all of the other things going on in the world of Auburn athletics. Stay tuned. Jacob Hillman joins us next.
Halfway through hour number two, you're on the line with Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
Went long in the previous segment, so apologies for that side of things. Man, a great conversation here on this Monday afternoon, and looking to continue that as we get back to the phone lines, this time for a scheduled guest, our guy Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network here joining us. And man, I feel like this example goes to show you that it's officially game week. People are getting fired up about the Auburn Tigers.
You're exactly right. That's what I was going to say. Y'all apologize for making – I don't mind it. I'm glad there's this excitement around – the Tigers and this football season kicking off. So I can't complain about that whatsoever, and excited to really dive into it.
Yeah, well, it'll be a little bit more rapid fire here on this Monday afternoon, but we've talked so much about Auburn and Baylor getting started with the AFLAC kickoff game in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. But this past weekend, there was a little bit of a kickoff inside of Jordan-Hare Stadium. Victory night with Alex Golish, the football team, as well as the Eagles program. Talk about what you've seen from that. I know so many people have now seen that interview with the young lady interviewing Coach Alex Golish and the professionalism that he brought, and everybody taking that of, man, Alex Golish really understands and is continuing to understand the Auburn side of things. But your big takeaways from what that means, not only for Auburn University, but just the community of Auburn as well.
They really did a great job from everything that I saw of just making it feel like a big event for everyone involved. And that's not just the students, but I mean, I feel like even for the players and the staff involved, mm-hmm. I feel like that was such a big moment for them to really be involved in. And Coach Golish talked about it. It's something that he's brought over, and you know, voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham, he was there calling plays and you know, making them feel like they're scoring a touchdown inside Jordan-Hare Stadium. All that with the pep band, the cheerleaders, the Tiger paws, everyone there, that makes it so, so special. And again, I think that kind of perspective, especially less than a week from kickoff of the regular season, it's something that could really add to to somebody, like I said, the perspective is what's a big deal going into this final week before the games begin. And that will hopefully really take the next step for this team and this staff and have them ready for Saturday against Baylor.
Yeah, week one getting started Thursday night, works its way into Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So you just get the full entourage of everything you could ask for in terms of week one college football. Did you have a specific way of celebrating week zero this past weekend?
Lots of laziness. That's what I'll say. we're about to get on the grind where we have so much going on and traveling and everything that goes into it. And hey, look at next year, we're moving the season up a week. So that's all I'm going to celebrate is enjoying the college football from the couch.
And Jacob, now working our way towards Saturday, Auburn and Baylor. It feels like this is a game. This is a matchup that we have previewed for so long. I know I asked a little bit last week of like, when does it actually feel real? And you mentioned when you're able to look at the field, you're able to kind of hear the band, see the stands continue to fill up. What is it about this Auburn Baylor game that really, really excites you and giving you the feeling that college football is officially here?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. Coach Golis was asked today in his presser about like, has it been a long time coming or has it gotten up really quickly? He said a little bit of both just because of everything that goes into preparation for that season opener. And in a similar vein, just, hey, look, like this is a new era of Auburn football. And mm-hmm. It's time to turn it around and find a way to win, win in big games. And this is one of those, a Peach Bowl game, in a neutral site against a Big 12 team. Of course, it's a team that you played last year and you beat by two scores, but it's so important to get off on the right foot and set the tone. And really, again, goes back to what Coach Golis has talked about all offseason, and especially at media days, is establishing that identity. And the best way to do that is from the opening kick of the season. And with two games before SEC play begins, that's when you need to do it. So that way when the Florida Gators come to town in week three, that you're ready to go and ready to start SEC play in the right way.
We're talking with Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network and going from football to football with this Auburn Soccer Club. And I got to talk to you about this defense, Jacob. The goalie for Auburn probably has the easiest job in the world. Only one goal conceded so far through the season. Talk to me about what you've seen from James Armstrong's team that has allowed for this phenomenal lockdown defense.
Yeah, I thought last night's game was really just kind of told the story of the whole season so far, where it took Auburn being down to 10 players for the final 57 minutes of that game for them to not win. And that was the case yesterday at the Auburn Soccer Complex. There was a red card in that first half, but Auburn was able to battle and really continue. And this is a team that's already got a little bit of a short bench, you know, with so much going on with injuries as well, as your star freshman Chloe Taylor off to Poland to play in the U-20 Women's World Cup. All of that kind of factors into, well, a red card right there is not what you need, but Auburn was able to fight and really control the game and not let that become too much of a factor. The Tigers were a little bit physical, but that's part of playing that tough, hard-nosed defense that makes it easy for Yapa. So I'm excited to see how this really trends. Another road trip as they head to Birmingham this upcoming week on Thursday night to face UAB at 7:00. And then we get closer and closer to SEC play, which is a huge opener. It's against Alabama next Friday night, September 11th.
Yeah, and speaking of openers, looking as well at Auburn volleyball, doing well in the Buccaneer Classic, 3-0 up in Johnson City, Tennessee, before getting ready for the Big Ten SEC Volleyball Challenge against some pretty good clubs in Minnesota and Wisconsin. You know, what have you seen thus far from this team that is going to allow them to compete and get back into the NCAA tournament for Auburn?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, this upcoming weekend or upcoming week in Madison is going to be the test of all tests for this Auburn volleyball team going up against two top 11 ranked teams. The Gophers are 11th ranked in the country, and Wisconsin is ranked fifth in the nation. But this past weekend was really, I thought, a strong showing. Some adversity on Friday night against East Tennessee State, the host team of the tournament, having to battle back a little bit after losing a set. But it was very, very good to see Auburn kind of keep that going on Saturday and shut out Akron and have that domination. But something Jack Burton, the associate head coach, talked to Andy Burcham last week about on this week in Auburn volleyball was how deep this team is. I was talking about how short the bench is over at the Auburn Soccer Complex. But at Neville Arena, this volleyball team has a very deep bench. They're able to really mix and match lineups in different ways and have what they want out there whenever they want. And that's very critical, especially in these non-conference matches where the Tigers are trying to solve these things. And in this week, it's really trying to set the tone and really put yourself in the national spotlight against the incredible teams that they'll face up in Madison this weekend. So that'll be absolutely critical. Again, that's Wednesday at 5 o'clock against number 11, Minnesota, and then Thursday night at 7 o'clock against the host team, number 5, Wisconsin. That is going to be a huge, really benchmark for the Tigers this week.
Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network here with us on the phone lines. And last question before we let you get out of here. Again, apologies for the condensed phone call, but shows that, again, people are fired up for everything that's working its way into the horizon with week one of college football. We talk all about Auburn in terms of athletics, but also Auburn known for the engineering school and the Ginn College of Engineering as well. And some really cool news that was released here this morning talking about the partnership with the U.S. Navy submarine and industrial base with that College of Engineering. So talk a little bit about that and what that means for all of Auburn, the engineering, as well as Auburn athletics.
Yeah, we're so excited to see this partnership expand and really become something that encompasses this workforce initiative that the U.S. Navy and built submarines are really trying to dive into. And with, like you said, the engineering school that we have here at Auburn, it's already pretty much ingrained into this city and this school, but this will really, really, I think, expand upon that, and especially the relationships that it's going to build and help create these jobs and especially recruit some of these great folks in the engineering school that are going to be graduating over here in the next few years. And of course, it's going to be great to see all that develop over the next few months. It'll be on the Neville Arena court and several other assets that it begins to really dive out and flesh out as we start to host more events inside Neville Arena as the semester goes on. So just a really cool partnership, and Build Submarines has been a great partner over the last several years, and it was great to know that they wanted to expand that partnership and invest even more and really dive into this workforce engagement program that they're really diving into. There's more online at auburntigers.com. The press release is at the top of the website. Go check it out and see exactly what this initiative is about. And there's several quotes in there that are very important about why this is happening.
My man, we greatly appreciate your time here on this Monday afternoon. We know that Tiger Talk is off and running. The Auburn Sports Network keeping up with their fantastic coverage as well. Tell everybody where they need to go if they're not already tuned in and what they're going to see leading up to Auburn football when they get there.
Yeah, make sure you tune into the Talking Tigers podcast today. A great episode with Athletics Director John Cohen. He joined Andy Burch in the talk. Alex Golish and Auburn football, all things Auburn athletics, but especially that Jordan Hare North project and what to expect over the next few months and years as it relates to that. And then on Wednesday, Tiger Talk, presented by Alpha Insurance, Wings 94.3 FM. If you can't join us, but we're back at Baumhauer's Victory Grill on Bent Creek Road. So that's from 6 to 7 Central. Alex Golish, James Armstrong join us as we talk all things Auburn football and Auburn soccer. And then this Saturday, it all gets started. Auburn versus Baylor in Atlanta. 2:30 Central kickoff. We're on the air at 11:30 a.m. on Wings 94.3 FM. So make sure you tune in We're so excited to bring you that coverage from Atlanta. But on top of that, like I mentioned, Auburn volleyball is in Wisconsin this week, Wednesday and Thursday. Auburn soccer at UAB on Thursday at 7. And then cross country gets its season started at the Foothills Invitational. That's up in Oxford, Alabama. So can't wait to bring it all to you guys.
Jacob, I don't know if I need to fire you up. I don't know if there's a brick wall nearby that you can run into. But the next time we speak, we will be able to recap a true Auburn football game. And if that doesn't fire you up, I don't really know what will.
Listen, man, I'm going to go. Listen, I don't know if there's any brick walls in Beard East Coliseum, but there's plenty of walls that I can probably make my way through. So, listen, I can't wait to do it, guys. And thanks for having me on, as always, guys. War Eagle.
Of course, War Eagle. Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network, again, taking some time to join us to dive into all things Auburn athletics on the football side of things, as well as so much going on throughout all of Auburn. We will take a break. We will come back. We will wrap up the Monday edition of On the Line right after this.
You are On the Line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and on the Radio Alabama app.
I was just reminded again about what happened on Saturday night between Stanford and my Rainbow Warriors. Brandon Gurgley, who, again, is a big part of ESPN 106.7, is in here. He's going to help run the drive and get them on the air, make sure that everything goes the way that it should. So feel free to give him a call here in just a few moments. Let the phone lines light up. He'll be able to answer with his wonderful voice. But no, he literally just walked in and said, how about Hawaii on Saturday? It's like, oh,
they
God,
almost did it.
Come on.
they almost did it. Who is leading the Pick'em League right now? I know that you're the one that has all the numbers.
Oh gosh, I need to.
I believe it is.
I believe Jack. Jack had a 7-1 week, which was pretty solid.
Good
so
for him.
It's not you, Tripp.
It's not me.
Tripp is leading in golf in terms of the lowest score.
First time ever.
Yes, Jack went 7-1. Caleb went 6-2. Myself and Brandon went 5-3.
3-4?
And then Tripp went 3-5.
3-5? Oh, dang it, because I took UNLV.
We also have the point system as well in terms of, again, you get a point for the correct pick, you get a point for the cover, and then if you get both of those right, you get a third point in there. And so, yeah, Hawaii kept me in fourth instead of easily in first. And so
I think I'm like still, y'all are all double digits.
A painful scoop and score, even more of a painful stutter that happened at the 5-yard line because he thought about not scoring and then he still chose to. We'll be able to dive into more of those week zero games tomorrow afternoon. Got a lot of text in the on-the-line text box as well, but sports are so much better with an opinion, whether you love them, whether you hate them. We're back tomorrow to talk all about them, and we hope you'll be there to join us.